okay, now can anybody see us? Because if that is the case, you can now officially see us. You've missed the first 10 minutes of the show. Where were you at? Actually, you were in the waiting room waiting for this software to work. And I think we're actually streaming now. I have no idea if people can see us, if people can hear us, if my Wi-Fi is going to work, if your Wi-Fi is going to work. That's why we do this kind of stuff, because people know it's going to be a train wreck. But I have a feeling that people here like seeing that sort of thing based on the fact that their baseball team continues to give them that. So who can screw things up more admirably today? Will it be us on this live stream? Will it be us trying to figure out how to work technology? You know, I got 14-year-old streamers with millions of followers that can figure this out, but you and I can't. Or is it the baseball team that found a way to ruin everybody's day? And, oh, wait, by the way, they've got a second game to see if they can make it, I don't know, even better, even worse.
Should I repeat what I said?
Yes. Yes.
Earlier? Okay. Well, I felt it was so eloquent. Now I don't remember everything I said. I think it's just like you put out one fire one day and then another one springs up. Or if this is a boat, it's full of holes and you have the ability to plug one or two things at a time and then you spring another leak. I mean, I've compared this to 2006, 2008, 2014. It's just, for whatever reason, just every night it's something different or someone different. It was Trevor Stephan's turn in the first game today. It was Emmanuel Clase and James Karinchak on Friday night when you had the offense scoring 9 runs. Of course, the bullpen's going to blow it. They haven't won a game by more than 3 runs since their first win of the season. Like, every single time they win, it causes you to pull your hair out to do it. And half the time, you pull your hair out and they don't do it. And I just, you know, it's Murphy's Law. It's whatever you want to call it. But I think sometimes, for whatever reason, teams just can't get on in sync. And it's just your sequencing is bad. It's just like doesn't quite, you're never clicking on all cylinders. It's the offense is good one day, the pitching's good the other, but never at the same time. Sometimes it's just a bad team. Sometimes it's you just can't get on track, every part of your team. And sometimes it's both. And it's early enough in the season where I'm not exactly sure what it is, which category this team falls in. Because whatever category it is, that can dictate how things go in July and August and this winter. But, you know, at this point, it looks like they might belong to all three categories. So, I don't know. It's just every single loss is like the most painful, twisted script that you've ever read until the very next night when it's even more painful and more twisted.
It's predictable. This is when you would look at the writer that's coming up with this show, this movie, and you would say, get rid of this. It's too predictable. I already know what's going to happen before it happens. And we joked about it before we actually got the live stream working, but you and I exchanged a text message about this very thing. After Jose hits the home run, a 2-run home run, you take the lead. That should be a moment of pure joy. And what goes through my brain? That they are going to find a way to make this the most horrific loss since the last time they lost a game. And you sent me a text message right back that whose turn is it to blow it tonight? Trevor Stephan. And then what ends up happening? Trevor Stephan blows it. And we go back a couple of nights ago when Karinchak gave up the grand slam. Stefan's the guy that everyone wanted in the game right in that moment. And we can go round and round whether or not that was the right or wrong decision. What ultimately played out proved it to be the wrong decision in that case. But of course, you go to the guy that everyone wanted in that situation. The next time you're in this situation in a close game, and Stephan blows it. Clase, I mean, we're getting calls for replacing him as the closer, and I assume everyone wants Stephan to be the guy that would replace him. He gives it up today, but how many times would you see a league leader in saves, people demanding he be taken out of the closer's role? It just adds to the unbelievable way that this has played out, that yes, it is, as someone said, Murphy's Law. Of course, it's Sean Murphy's Law. I believe that was Hammy Buck. Shout out to him. Shout out to John. Pyramid Song, who's streaming along. We'll get to some of their comments, and if you have comments, any live chats, drop them in there. We're going to talk about it. We're here hanging out with you between games. This is not a normal show that we're doing here. But isn't this just entirely predictable at this point? And if it is, like, is it even worth getting frustrated about it anymore? I don't know if it is. I might be entering a new territory of frustration that I'll explain to you in a couple of minutes. But it, I mean, doesn't it just feel like I can predict, you can predict, the fans can predict exactly this is good, the way that this is going to play out?
Yes and no. I mean, first of all, feel how you want to feel. If you're frustrated, fine. If you're just reach a point of apathy, then that's your prerogative, and I'm not going to blame you. I mean, I think back to 2006, and there was that week where Fausto Carmona was the closer, and he blew four saves in a row, and I mean, it was, yes, that was predictable. But the difference here is that it's someone different every night, and they play so many close games that every single mistake you make is crippling. You know, if it's a defensive mistake that leads to a run, if it's just someone in the bullpen falling behind to one batter, it's like they're paying for every mistake. It's not a single here and a walk here. It's the relievers are giving up home runs, and when you're giving up home runs and you're only ever entering the game when your team is up one or tied, because that's every game with this team, it's going to be just absolutely critical, and it's going to cost you. So I think they've played 45 games and 21 have been decided by one run. That's an unsustainable pace. Even if you're playing well in one-run games, which they're not, that's not a healthy way to live. And again, like, they have not won a game by more than three runs since their first win of the year on March 31st.
It's unbelievable.
The price of gas was only $2.55 at that time. The number one movie in theaters was something I've never seen. And I mean, the loaf of bread was like, it's the way that they've played this season is just not, you can't thrive with this style. And they just have, you know, we can rank all the things wrong with them. You can nitpick and talk about Ahmed Rosario's defense or Terry Francona's decision to go to this reliever, not move up this guy in the lineup or not play Tyler Freeman enough or this or that. We can talk about Will Brennan and right field and that being like whatever problem you want to be mad about at a certain minute. The fact that they can't consistently score a few runs a game is what sure. is going to derail the entire season, because it just puts so much pressure on everybody to be perfect. And we've seen how that goes.
John says, loser team, loser organization. When you're getting John saying it's a loser organization, you've done something wrong.
Who is that, Pronkville?
It is. Pyramid Song, what's Tyler Freeman got to do to get more consistent ABs? Best approach of the entire game, he says.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it on this podcast for a couple of weeks, but like, my strategy with the offense would be play the guys who are hitting, play the guys who have high floors. Like I've said, I'd give Will Brennan more runs just because he's going to put the ball in play, and theoretically he should be a good hitter against righties. But like Tyler Freeman,
he hasn't been. He's been terrible.
Play him. He has been, yes. So I'm moving away from him and I'm going to Tyler Freeman because he can do the same. He has a similar skill set, and it's a limited sample, but he's looked good. Play the guys who look good, because you need anything you can get. So if that means you got to play Naylor in right field and move Ahmed Rosario to, or DH someone and put Freeman in the infield, do it. I mean, defensive limitations shouldn't be the issue here, because like they're playing Gabriel Arias in right field, and he's a defensive replacement at first base, and like that's not the issue here. Play the guys who can hit or who are showing a pulse at the plate.
Here's where I'm at, because I have spent the last few weeks just like everybody else, pissed off, tired of this crap, freaking out, fretting about everything that isn't happening offensively, and I think I came to an epiphany today. Maybe I shouldn't share this. It'll call into question where I'm at mentally. But would you like to hear what my epiphany is?
Let's hear it.
Part of what has made this confusing and also has made me angry, I think, is that a lot of guys have made us look wrong. Now, whether that plays out for the next however many games are left, you're a quarter way into this season, basically, I don't know, but to this point, a lot of guys that we, even if they were semi-question marks, I would consider Andrés Giménez in this territory. I didn't envision him being this bad. Everybody in the lineup And I would even, despite the fact that Jose hit a home run and his numbers are okay, everybody has given you, even below our expectations, sure, but those can be fueled by what we watched last year, the fact that we concentrate on these guys every single day. It can lull you into a false sense of believing a guy is better than what he ends up being. It happens. But it's not just us that have been wrong about these players. What did the projections say about a number of these guys entering the year? Maybe that they weren't going to repeat like Andrés Giménez did and have a 140 WRC plus this year, but pretty much every projection system said this is a good team. Good team that should win the division. Best is in terms of projectable, and that is even considering the fact that you had young, unproven players that aren't always getting great reviews in projections because there's not a lot of things you can grasp onto and truly believe in. Every single player, Zach, pretty much, outside of maybe Jose Ramirez, who is still below expectations, has given you what is essentially one of their worst outcomes based on the projections. If you would have looked at, like, here's the spectrum of outcomes for what could happen for Andrés Giménez this year, and here, this is the best it could be, and down here is the worst. Pretty much every player has been down here at the worst. And I was thinking about, like, the fact that I am so freaking out about this, at what point do I just throw my hands up and say every hitter in this lineup has chosen, not really chosen, but is having the worst outcome of the spectrum of believable outcomes? What am I to do? What am I to do? I mean, of course, I can't do anything, period. But what am I just going to continue to freak out about this? Or do I just say, this is just what's happening. This is the sequencing that's happening. And you're just going to keep running them out there, hoping that the reason why projections are what they are is they factor in all of the different stretches. And so you just need the full 162 to play out before they get to where the numbers should be. I feel like I'm wasting energy to be fretting about this, because how do you overcome every hitter on the team being the worst version of themselves? Not just even based on what I think, but based on what the projection system, pretty much every single one, thought that they would be entering the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the alarm, though. That's because they're not all going to rebound. And so,
no.
What puts them in a tricky spot is that it's this whole contending while developing bullshit that at some point, like, you're going to have, like, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. And you're going to reach a point in the season at some point where you have to make changes, right? Whether it's at shortstop, whether it's in right field, whether it's at first base, whether it's at catcher, whether it's in your bullpen. And the question I have is, when do you do that and how do you do that? And you have young players waiting for opportunities, whether it's Arias, Rosario, Freeman, the starting pitchers, Naylor. So when do you just decide, okay, collectively everyone stinks, we have to make some changes and go to the younger guys? And you have to weigh, does that even... Normally, when you move away from the veteran with a track record and you go with the young rookie, there are growing pains and you just accept that you're going to be worse off in the short term and better off in the long term. But I don't even know if that's the case. Like, everyone on this team is so young that, like, you might not have a drop off. We saw that in 2014 and 2015 after they made trades. They were better in the second half. But I don't know. Like, I mean, you're mentioning guys not meeting expectations and everyone thinking that this lineup would be much better than it was. And it's like, yeah, I thought Josh Bell was a really good signing and he's been terrible. He draws walks, that's it. And then he hits a single off the wall and is thrown out by a mile and a half at second base. He has three home runs. Like, even if you didn't think he was a good signing, you didn't think it was going to be this unproductive. Even if you didn't like the Zunino signing, I was very meh on it. I didn't really care one way or the other. I advocated for a Sean Murphy trade, certainly. I'm not going to use hindsight and take a victory lap on that or anything, but, you know, even if I wasn't a fan of Zunino, I didn't expect 0 for 27 with 21 strikeouts in May before Francisco Lindor let him leg out a single.
Can we give him a round of applause on that? I mean, he broke the streak, man.
Do you think Lindor did that on purpose because he's trying to stick it to the Guardians and he thought maybe if Zunino gets a hit, that makes the Guardians worse off because he'll stay in the lineup longer?
That's some great leadership, man.
That's just expert chess.
That's what a leader would do. Totally what a leader would do.
To answer your question, I mean, I'm with you, but I think framing it as just, well, let's throw our hands up because all the players have been disappointing. I think that lets the organization off the hook a little bit, and we'll get there. I mean, if this persists and the team's just out of it in a month, then we need to take a hard look at what the front office's shortcomings were in building this and mapping out this timeline. But for now, you're right. I mean, you can look, I think we said this like 2 weeks ago. Name a player on the team who's not like Bibee or Allen who have made four starts. Name a player on the team who has exceeded expectations. Starter, reliever, anyone in the lineup. I mean, I think when we did this exercise a couple weeks ago, I said like maybe Eli Morgan? And Yel De Los Santos? I don't know. That's it. Xavion Curry?
No, that's... And that doesn't even count. I mean, those guys aren't part of anything that truly should be mattering for you. Nice additions, sure. Things you're glad to have, great. But those aren't the guys that you're counting on. But the other thing that is, I guess, I don't even want to say giving me hope, because I don't even know if it's giving me hope. It's just part of this, I'm throwing my hands up because I can't figure this out. And in what world would all of this stuff just be happening the way that it is? Even if we admit that, like if I looked at the projections, and I have here recently, pretty much every hitter, even if you just based on rest of season projections, it would all say that they're supposed to be 15, 20% percentage points better than what they have been in WRC+, let's say. So Josh Bell has been hovering like 95 because he walks so much. And so he should be closer to like 116 to 120. And overall, you would say, well, that's not a big change. That's not a huge difference between 95 and 116. True. I mean, it would help a little bit, certainly. But that's not a big change. But every hitter in the lineup, the projections suggest they should be 15, 20 percentage points better than where they're at. So even Andrés Giménez should be like at a 110 rest of season. Well, he's like at 85 or something like that entering today. Okay. What if everybody in the lineup just got back to baseline expectations that aren't even like extraordinary? Imagine how much better the offense could be if everyone was just a little bit better. And that's, again, it's not really a thing that's giving me much hope because I don't see anything within the data that's like, oh, well, this guy will get better and this guy will get better. No, I don't know if it's an approach thing. I don't know if like in Josh Bell's case, is he being too passive? We've talked about that. Hell, we talked about that coming into the year. He's walking more than ever before. Well, maybe he should be looking to do some more damage. But every hitter, because they're all struggling so badly, if they all just improved a little bit, imagine how much that would raise the boat. That tells you just the sequencing has been so bad and the offense has been so bad that if they all just were a little bit better, my God, they look like a completely different team.
Yeah, so remember the St. Louis Cardinals were 10-25, and then they went on a hot streak. I think they won 8 in a row. I don't have the record in front of me, but they're out of last place now, and I think they're like 9-1 in their last 10 games. That happens, right? They were better than 10-25, and you know, the Pirates were 20-8, and now they're like 4-13 since. That happens. Here's the issue with the Guardians. What if their hot streak, you know, if they need to win 8 of 10 to get back on track, but like, who's to say that the first two of the 8 out of 10 weren't these first two games in the Mets series? Like, those might have been the games that you're supposed to get rolling, and it's just so happened that the bullpen blows those two games. It's just, it's something different every game.
How very optimistic of you.
But that's the thing. And when we talk about sequencing, it's not just saying they've had bad luck, because you, most times in this game, you make your own luck. And if you're a bad team, you find ways to lose that you've no business losing. And the Friday night game is a perfect example of that. How many times did the Mets try to let them win? Or do the Guardians put themselves in position to win that game? And just whether it's Karinchak or Hench's pitching the way he did that led to Karinchak pitching in the situation he shouldn't have been pitching in and Karinchak falling behind. Like, you have to, like, if I listed all the things that had to happen for them to lose that game, it's insane. But that's just, sometimes there are just years where that happens. And that's not to let them off the hook, because it's, you have to be a bad team for that to happen. But it's just, like, that's the vibe. Like, let me tell you, I know it's always quiet after a loss. I know it's quiet in the clubhouse between games of a doubleheader. That place felt like a freaking morgue between games. I mean, not a word was uttered. It should have, but it was just like, how do you go from that vibe to then go play on Sunday Night Baseball? How does that work?
I don't know, but no one's slowing down to see if you can catch your breath. The game is still coming, whether you want it or not.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Stopping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Everything you're saying makes sense. I don't want to leave them off the hook because I don't think they deserve to be left off the hook. I mean, I come on here every week and I just lambaste all of the players that aren't performing up to their expectations. And this is a team that, as we said going into the year, we expected. I mean, even when you're factoring in some of the unknown and the places that they could take a step back, that this is a good team, a very solid team that should be competing for a division title and more. And when you have the record that you are, or that you have, that is what you are. I'm not saying, like, because of the Emmanuel Clase blown saves, they should actually be. No, I'm not saying that. Their record is what they are. They have earned it by the way that they've played. I'm just thinking of this like in a, trying to think of what happens from here. How does the bullpen, the line, how does it get worse from here? This is just what I'm struggling with. How do you get worse sequencing than they've gotten? How is that possible?
I'll tell you.
It's just part of why I'm throwing my hands up here. I don't know what else to say. How can you have this? It is like, it would be harder for these amount of guys to try to be this bad.
So that's, I mentioned this the other day where I was saying it had been fascinating kind of sitting back and reading the discourse, whether it's in our Discord, on Twitter, wherever, and seeing, I mean, I think at the time they were like 19 and 21, something like that. And seeing people say what you're saying, like, it can't get worse. So, like, there are brighter days ahead, they'll be fine. Or, like, this has just been so maddening that, like, it's just going to be like this. And
That's what I feel. Thank you.
And so I would agree with you if they literally the last two games have proven it can get worse. Because, like, well, what happens when Logan Allen and Tanner Bibee go through growing pains? We haven't seen that yet. I think if I'm going to support your argument, which there's some validity to, and I think that's why.
It's not even an argument. I don't have a point here. I'm just screaming.
You never do. No, but if you're going to try to paint a picture of that looks, I don't want to say sunshine and rainbows, because, like, again, they're 20 and 25. McKenzie and Savali probably need two more rehab starts apiece, and then they're back. And then, you know, you're going to see, well, I'll tell you how it could get worse. You have Bieber Verlander Sunday Night Baseball, and then you have Hunter Gaddis versus whoever on Monday evening baseball in Cleveland. Like, it's, me saying this means they'll win both of those games, but you know what I mean. But your rotation should be at full strength soon. You would think the offense can't get worse. You would think. So, I don't know. And the bullpen is already blowing every game that they touch, so you're right, I guess. I mean, you could just keep doing this for longer. That would be how it gets worse.
Well, yeah. I am almost to the point, dude, where I'm semi-rooting for it. Like, how could it be possible for every time Karen Cech enters in a situation like that, that he gives up the grand slam? How could that be possible? And it gets to be a point where I'm not saying I'm rooting for it, but, like, I just want to see how insane some of these things could get. It doesn't seem possible for Classe to have the 5 blown saves that he does. And even in the manner in which that he's blowing these games, I don't think that they should remove him from the closer role. Part of it is I don't have the level of trust that everyone else has in Trevor Stephan. Part of it is I just think that Classe is a good pitcher and he'll get there eventually. But the other thing is, like, watch the blown saves. How many of them were just like he came in and he got his teeth kicked in?
But that's I think what makes this season so maddening. That's why I think fans are as way more frustrated than they would be if the team was just 15-30 and was just playing awful, right? Because Classe is throwing 100 again. Hey, congrats. But he's not striking anyone out and guys are hitting him. And it's just like he's off with his command a little bit. The other night he kept getting 0-2 and then he couldn't put anyone away because he was missing with his command. I do not mean to sound supportive or defend players. Like, they haven't performed. That's the bottom line.
They don't deserve it.
If you look at Karen Cech's numbers, like, it's home runs. That's it. Like, too many walks, falling behind in the count, and he's got to throw over the plate to get back in the count, and guys are just, like, Pete Alonso sitting fastball and crushes one. But if you look at his strikeouts and his hits and some of his metrics, like, he's pretty close to what he's been. It's just the timing. It's just you're giving up home runs. Like, why? You had to give up a grand slam to Alonso. You couldn't give up
right,
a two-run
right.
single, something like
but,
that.
But
yeah.
Then what does he do? After that, he comes back and strikes out the side, proving, like, that's why you brought him in, potentially, in a situation
right.
like this. And I thought you made a good point when we were just talking about it via text, that I don't think Tito was thinking, I'm bringing Karen Cech in here with the bases loaded. Just, you had Henches implode very quickly, and it's like, oh, crap, I had Karen Cech ready to
and
go with...
There should have been a second reliever warming.
All right, and that was your point. But you also bring in Karen Cech knowing that this is a guy that could strike out the village, and he ends up doing that. And it's the same thing with Stephan. He gives up the home run, and then what does he do? He strikes people out, and the rest of the inning's fine, and it's like, there's the guy that you brought in this situation and you're trusting.
Right.
But it happens after they give up the monumental, devastating home run. And it's just like, how you see, like, in Karen Cech's case, you see the talent later on in the inning with Classe. Again, he's not giving up doubles and home runs here to give up tons of walk-offs here. It's just single, single, single. There's the game. And it's, I'm going to keep saying it. I'm just like, what else can we see? If I'm not going to see victories, at least show me the most entertaining flaming dumpster that I could possibly see.
You're getting it. I mean, maybe these are growing pains that they didn't go through last year. I don't know. I still think the bullpen's good. It's just they've imploded at the absolute worst times, and all this team does is play 1-2 run games. So when you have an off night, when you don't command one pitch, then that's it, and the game's over. And so they have no room for error, and they don't play errorless baseball. I think that's the bottom line. And it's I don't know. I don't know if this is, well, they're 20-25, but nothing's gone right, or if it's, well, they're 20-25 and this team's just not any good at all.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe they're in the middle. Maybe they're all of the above.
I mean, even when I think of little elements like in the offense, maybe there's something they're not doing to prepare their hitters. Maybe there's something that in their work in the cages that Chris Valakens in his hitting staff, they're not doing, right? That could be a potential thing that's happening here. But what do I do with last year? Where do I funnel that in my brain? Because you can't just say, well, all of the breakouts that happened last year, what was that, all luck? And then this year, this is who they actually are. The hitting staff didn't do anything to help them last year, but now they are. Like, or they're not. It's just like, how do I put that together in my brain, it adds to what confuses me so much. There are things like, you know, I wonder with Class A, is it a pitch selection issue? Is it a pitch, a specific pitch not being put in the right spot? Is it too many cutters up? Is it too, the slider, he can't throw that for strikes in the lower part of the zone? Maybe. Maybe there are small little things here and there, but like, is that a coaching thing? Is it something they're not doing to prepare them? Well, then how did Stephen Kwan and Andrés Giménez and everyone else that had good seats, how did they all break out last year? Like, that's what I can't wrap my brain fully around.
Right. I mean, I said it the other day, but it's going to make, it keeps this season interesting no matter what, because we don't know enough about the parts. And right now, I wonder, like, you have to evaluate each individual. And I don't know. It's going to make for some interesting conversations, because we just, you're right. How do you balance what we thought we knew about them coming into this year versus what we think about them now? It's tough to do. And you have to make decisions because they have so many major league ready guys that are waiting, or that we've seen a little bit of, but not a lot. You know, and at some point during the season, you're going to have to make a call and say, you know, I mean, we both advocated for Bo Naylor to be the guy right away. You know, that's probably step one. And then there are other steps too. And maybe those are talked about more toward the trade deadline. But I wonder where the season is going. Because it was, you know, I'm
who the hell knows?
In a way, I'm almost glad that it's still like this. How do I want to say this? All the people who said, oh, just wait till the weather warms up, can finally stop talking.
Who was really saying that? They didn't believe
God.
That.
Yes, media members even
said
they
didn't believe that. They're just looking for something to make themselves feel better. I don't think anybody actually thought that.
I think that's a thing.
Mm-mm. Liars.
But who knows? I'm really curious to see where this goes.
Let's peruse the comments section. And if you're, I know there's over 27 people watching this live. That's impressive. I think that's a new record.
You all need help. Get help.
If you're part of it and you haven't dropped a comment in, dropped a question in, why are you just sitting here watching us? Do you like just watching? No, participate. We want you to participate. Andrew says he's loving the live chat. Thank you. We're happy that you're here. Hammy Buck says, I have Josh Naylor starting in right field on my bingo card. Everyone in the Discord is going to be happy about that had that on their bingo card.
I mean, Naylor in right and Bell at first is horrifying, but like, screw the defense. Just get hitters.
AW, Rosario is a roadblock. Bullpen has been overlooked and looks dead. The second part, I don't know if that is necessarily, I don't think the bullpen is more overworked than any other bullpen. But the Rosario thing, I mean, it's worthy of having this conversation now. Because yeah, you could say, just keep playing him because he's going to get back to being an average hitter and he's going to have a stretch here where he's going to be hitting 400. I mean, hell, he just came off a stretch where he had three or four games where he was swinging the bat well. I don't think the conversation is about that anymore. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But they're going to be in a territory here very soon where even if he is catching fire, he's probably not part of your team next year. Is that beneficial to just
let
him play?
That's what I mean. That's what I keep alluding to. It's like at some point, even if, like, the reason they're playing him constantly and hitting him second is they trust his track record more than they trust any of the young guys who don't have a track record. And this is, again, it comes back to contending while developing and why it's really hard to do and why teams don't do it is you have to make decisions. And, you know, I think the plan would just be to let him walk at the end of the season. But if you're going to do that and you're not in the race, you're not a legitimate World Series contender, which, of course, they don't seem like that right now, then it is way more beneficial to play Rocchio or Arias or Freeman and let those guys figure it out and prove themselves. So you have to make that decision at some point. It's just, when are they comfortable enough with not betting on Rosario's track record and trusting one of those guys. And then which guy do you trust? You know, there's that too. So who knows?
Let's see here. I like this one from Michael. Can you guys please tell me Freeman won't be the next Yandy Diaz? Comes back to a conversation we just had about giving up on guys. And not even that it's not warranted in the moment that you do it, but a lot of, hey, what's going on behind you there? Earlier it sounded like someone was playing with spoons. Like, when you were a kid, did you ever put two spoons together and do, like, try to make a rhythm out of that? No?
I played outside.
Somebody moaning in the background there. I don't know what's happening though, in New York. But
it's Mr. and Mrs. Met.
Oh, no. That is going to demonetize this stream. Anyway, let's get back to the question. A lot of the, like, Giovanni Urshela, Jesus Aguilar, people point to Yandy Diaz, but all of these guys, the one common denominator that I have seen is that all of them just got patience and an ability to play through it. What about Freeman? What about Arias? Could these guys be the next guys that you give up on because you just weren't patient with them?
Someone's going to get either lost in the shuffle or traded, right? Maybe multiple guys. But that's why I feel like I've been yelling this from the mountaintops for 2 years, because they stockpiled all these shortstops, and it's like, you can't give everybody opportunities and learn enough about each guy. There's not enough spots in the lineup. And that's why that's how you end up with Gabriel Arias playing right field and Freeman playing once a week. I'm not saying that those are the right decisions or the wrong decisions. It's just, it's a product of what you've built and not making a trade in the last couple of years. So there's going to be risk involved no matter how you cut it. Like, you're either taking a risk by giving guys limited opportunities and then just, like those guys you named, you just let them go and they maybe blossom somewhere else. Or you trade guys and you just have to guess how they're going to perform in the future and hope you keep the right ones and trade the right ones. I mean, that they have to trust their evaluations, and there are going to be some hits and some misses. But I think how this has played out so far is not beneficial.
Glad we're doing this little bit of therapy here. And the reason why we're doing the live stream, by the way, and I mean, you actually have had some good cohesive points. I have not. I'm just throwing shit at the wall. What do you expect? Minutes after the game's over. I'm telling you, I'm throwing up my hands. I can't do anything else about it, damn it. But you got to travel in the morning. This is all messed up. So it was either let's do this now or we're going to wait till Tuesday. And we thought, hey, let's just do something fun and different. When you're listening to this back in your podcatcher now, none of this is going to make sense because you'll have watched Sunday Night Baseball, and who knows, the team might have won 16-0 and all the good feelings are back. Not going to hold my breath, but I mean, the way this season is going, I really don't know. But it was cool to get to do this every once in a while and throw it out for some more live chats, which Nathan is next up. He says Rosario is going to get flipped at the deadline, finally heat up, and carry someone to the World Series like Eddie Rosario did a couple of years ago.
I could see it. Where's Pablo Sandoval? No.
Pyramid Song. What is the trajectory that would have to happen to see Vets, Rosario, Bell, God forbid, Bieber shipped off at the deadline?
The problem is, like, they didn't think Rosario had much trade value, that it was beneficial to trade him a year ago. They were kind of caught in a weird spot.
I would agree with that, by the way. I think that that's the right assessment.
He's going to have limited trade value. Like, you're not getting back anything terribly useful.
It'd be like the Cesar Hernandez trade kind of a thing.
Yeah, probably a little more value than that, but not a ton. Bell, I can't imagine Bell would have any value unless he gets hot. The Bieber question is going to be, like, that will be the topic of July. And we'll get there. I know we've talked about it. We can talk about it at great length later on. But, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing hanging over this team, I think, aside from the play on the field, is just, like, do you trust what you have, where you can trade, and what can you get for him? And how's he pitching? Like, I think everyone looks at the little blue sliders on Baseball Savant and says, oh my God, he's a shell of himself. Get him out of here. You think other teams don't see that? Mm. I mean, maybe not the Rockies, but, like, most teams see the same thing you see. So it depends what you want, too. You know, I don't know. Like, what do they need in a trade? Obviously, immediate offensive help, but if you're, you know, that can be really tough to pull off in that sort of trade because the team acquiring him is trying to win. So are they in a position to get rid of someone who's helping them win? You know, so are you trading for prospects? Stockpile more shortstops? I don't know. We can cover this more.
Yeah, in a month. We will. Thank you for being here. We do appreciate it. Thank you to all the patrons that continue to support the show over at patreon.com/selbiasgodcast. You make things like this possible, and we do appreciate each and every single one of you. We'll see what ends up happening tonight. Maybe something so wild and crazy will happen that we'll just be back here for another live stream. And just based on the fact that all of you guys are hanging out watching us, I think you'd be here with us. So thank you for that.